Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. I want to thank you for all the help that we've had from this congregation at Mimmelsburg, and bring greetings from Mimmelsburg and welcome you to come there when you have opportunity. A little book I picked up had a little story that I wanted to read. The title is You Have Purpose. One hot day in western Texas, my niece, Vanessa, saw a woman standing by a stoplight holding up a sign. As she drove closer, she tried to read what the sign said, assuming it was a request for food or money. Instead, she was surprised to see these three words, You Have Purpose. As I had to think a thought on that, you know, there's a lot of people today that seemingly don't realize that there is a purpose in life. And I don't believe this morning that anyone is born in this world without God having a purpose for them. Now, we realize a lot of people don't give their heart and life to God in the way they should and serve Him. But that still don't get away from the cause that there is a purpose why we're all here. And then it says, God has created each of us with a special purpose. Primarily, that purpose is to bring honor to Him, and one way to do that is by meeting the needs of others around us. And I like that idea that we are here. Our brother just mentioned about Hezekiah and them, how they called the people together. There was a concern, there was a desire that they would serve the Lord. And we need to have that desire today. As we go, as we meet people from time to time, you know, sometimes we get the idea, well, what's the use? They won't listen anyway. You know, you never know what someone might take from something we would say, or even just what we do, may convince someone that there is a God in heaven. And so we do have a purpose here, and we want to look at that this morning. I want to look at a number of people that have went on in life and have served God and has made a purpose and fulfilled that purpose. As we were studying in Sunday school about Jacob this morning, you know, we can look at his life, and in the past, in the earlier days there, it seemed like I had to wonder sometimes if some of the things Jacob said and some of the things he did. And you know, when he went to his father for the blessing, he told a few lies. But in the end, it worked out. Another thing I had to wonder about that is, did Jacob's father know what his mother did when the Lord told her there's two nations in your womb and the elder will serve the younger, which was not common at that time. I don't know, but we know that it worked out and that Jacob did become a man of God and serve Him. Well, getting back to this thought of purpose, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to look at verses 7 to 11 here. And we want to look at some others who came in this world and what their life had to do and how that they serve God hereafter and what their purpose was. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11 here, but the end of all things at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God, or if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through the Lord, through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here in these verses, we are called to have purpose in life. It says in verse 7, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And I think that's two things we really need if we're going to have purpose in life. We have to be close to God. We have to live a sober life. Now, that don't mean that we can't never have fun, we can't never laugh or have joy into things, but it's a soberness that people know where we stand, that who we serve, and that we're not here for our own entertainment or to entertain others. And then it says, watch unto prayer. We all need to have prayer. Prayer needs to be a daily thing. And it says here about watch unto prayer. Usually when we think of prayer, we think of talking to God. But here it says watch. And so we need to be watch unto prayer. And God will help us as we meet the situations in life. And sometimes we get the idea we really don't know what to do or how to go. But God will always direct us if we are up to date in prayer. In verse 8, it mentions about having fervent charity among yourselves. We have that love and kindness one for another. When there's a need, we're ready to help. In verse 9, it also talks about hospitality without grudges. In that song we sang right before devotions, the last line there, I think it says, all that I have is thine. Something, I'm not quite the right wording there. But do we realize what we have in life? We are only stewards of it. And we are here to take care of it. That's one purpose we have in life, that we are here to do what God wants us to do and to take care of what he's endeavored to give us. In verse 10, it talks about every man received a gift. And I believe that's true. God said that every man has a gift. Now, we're not all gifted the same, and we all have different gifts. But you know, it's the same with our bodies. We are all different parts we have, but all work together. It all works good. And so it is with the purpose in life, too. Whatever God has given us, that purpose we need to fulfill. Verse 11, it talks about teaching and preaching God's word. And it says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And that's a purpose we have. God has created mankind, I believe, because he wants fellowship with one another. That was the idea. We think of Jesus coming down to the garden there with Adam and Eve and that communication with them. God desires the same of us. And that's the purpose. We're here to bring honor and glory to him. And we want to be faithful in doing that. In Joshua 24:15, the familiar verse we all know there, where Joshua says that they're to choose this day who they're going to serve. And if we go back to before this verse there, it lists the whole thing from being a chapter down through that God had done for them. Clear back from the time of taking them out of Egypt and all the many miracles which he'd done. And then Joshua calls the people together and says, choose you who you're going to serve. What is your purpose in life? What are we going to do? And we know that the people said, and Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the next verse after that, the people said, we will serve the Lord. There was a purpose here. Joshua saw a need to be more purpose in life than what they were doing in the past. And we know in history how that it seemed like many times God blessed them and they fell away. And then they'd come back and it's the same thing happened over again. And you know it's possible for that to happen to us today. But there is a purpose. God wants us to serve him and to be faithful to him. And we need to take that challenge up just as they did. Joshua said, me and my house. We need to have purpose. And we need to have it falls in with the family. It's not only one. But as we work together, as God has blessed us with families, that we can make that decision and have purpose in life. The next one I have is in Matthew chapter 6. In verses 25 to 33. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowl of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's that verse 33. We read the next one there. In verse 25 here, you know, this is something that is a concern to all of us. What we're going to do, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. And that is important, but Jesus has called us to more than that. He's called us to a purpose in life that we might bring honor and glory to him. And the other thing it mentions here in these verses that God in control anyway. You know, sometimes we get the idea that we have what we have because we worked for it. We've done what we worked hard and all that. Who gave us the health and the strength? Who gave us the power to work? Who blessed our work? You know, it's God's way of blessing us and helping us to realize the purpose that we are here. And then in verse 30 it mentions here that if God so clothed the grass of the field which today is cast into the oven, shall you not much more clothe you of the little faith? Here again it brings out the thought that after all these things we've done and what we've done here, that God is still in control over that. Another thing we can see in these verses that God has not ignored those who depend on him. God, if we put our faith and trust in God, David said in Psalms that he'd never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. And so God knows all about us. He knows our needs and that we need to be faithful to him. In verse 33, God wants to pursue and not worry about things. You know, we maybe sometimes feel we should do this or that, but what if this happens? What if that happens? What if it don't work out right? And you know, this can come in personal life. We talk to someone and you say, well, what if I don't know what to say? Well, I think God will be with us. And if that's God's purpose for us to talk to someone, he's going to give us words to say and he'll be with us. And so worrying and fretting is something that is a hindrance to the personal life, to our purpose in life. We need not worry. God will take care of things. And you know, if the God we serve has made a way of salvation that can save us, and he's also gave us life here, he's also able to sustain us through life. And so what do we have to worry about? And yet we spend so much time worrying. And so the purpose is that we are here to serve him and not ourselves. And so if what we are doing is God's work, what do we have to worry and fret about? And so let's be faithful in doing this. The next one I want to look at, it talks about Jesus. I want to turn to John chapter 4 here. Jesus came with a purpose in life, and he fulfilled that purpose. John 4, verse 34. For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not by the Spirit, but by... No, I'm in chapter 3 here. And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish my work, his work. Before this is the account where Jesus met the woman at the well. And the disciples went to get something to eat and they came back. And Jesus said in verse 32, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And so the purpose here that we have not only what we can do or what we think or what we eat, but Jesus was saying that his meat is to do the will of our Father, which has sent us. And I believe, as I said a while ago, God has a work for each and every one of us. And as we do that work, that's going to be fulfillment in life, just as eating brings fulfillment in hunger. God will bless us and help us as we are nourished by the way, and as we fulfill, as we do his will and the purpose which he has called us to, that we shall have that satisfaction of knowing we've fulfilled the purpose thus far. And then going a little in John 17, verse 4. This again refers to Jesus' work here. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know, as we think of this, back in the Old Testament, it was testified that Jesus would come. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says what his work would be and what his names would be and why he was coming. The everlasting Father. And then in Luke chapter 2, in verse 28 to 32, there is when Mary and Joseph met Simeon. And it mentions there about the work that Christ came to do, how he was going to be a king and a savior to all mankind. That was his purpose. God left Jesus come into this world to fulfill that purpose for us and to make a way of salvation. And now in John 4, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus came with a purpose to make a way of salvation. And he done that while he was here. In his life, we think of him serving, trying to serve, and how he was rejected many times throughout life. And finally, hung on the cross and gave his life willingly. And when we think of him hanging on the cross there, you know, they didn't take his life, but Jesus gave it. Well, they say the time of dying on the cross is sometimes up to 3 days, I believe, something like that. But he gave his life. He gave up his life. And he done it to fulfill the work, the purpose which God had given him to do. And when we think of the work of Calvary, I don't think that that was a second thought of God. When God created the world, I think he knew what would happen. And you know, God knows about each of us, the purpose. God knows why we're here, the purpose he gave us to be here, and he knows whether we're going to fulfill that purpose or not. But Jesus willingly gave it, and he fulfilled his purpose. The next one we want to think about is Paul in Acts chapter 20. Verse 24. Paul is telling him here he's about to leave from Malus here, and he's sent to Ephesus here. It says in verse 17, now down in verse 24, he mentions some things here in between that he knows he's going to face. Some of them didn't want him to go. But in verse 24, Paul says, but none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto me, for that I have finished my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord, to testify the gospel through the grace of God. And so Paul felt this purpose to move on and to keep moving into teaching and preaching the word of God as he went, even though in verse 23 it talks about that there's going to be bond and affliction. But yet Paul felt the purpose in life to go and to preach the word and to meet other people as he went. And you know, we have much of the New Testament today because of Paul's work and writing that he had. The purpose was he had put here for. And we think of Paul as he traveled in the missionary journeys and all. But if Paul wouldn't have been put in prison, would we have all the writings that we have today? I'm not sure. But we know that when Paul's purpose was, and then when Paul's, just come to me now, Paul's soul there would never end. I went to him. He told him what his purpose was going to be, what God had revealed to him. And Paul worked on fulfilling that. And then let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Here again it talks about Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that shows us that Paul had this purpose in life and he wanted to fulfill what God had asked of him. It says here, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, that's something we have to do too. All of us have made some failures in life sometime or another. And sometimes we wonder, well, why did that happen? Why did we do it? And we can't always answer those questions. But there's one thing. God has given forgiveness when we willingly come and seek it. And just because of what happened back in my life sometime or other, don't lessen my purpose or responsibility in life to go on from there. And I'm thankful this morning that we have a God that does forgive us, and we can go on and fulfill the purpose which He has called us to do. And Paul said he's forgetting those things behind. And you know, as we think of the life of Paul, there was a lot of things. How he persecuted the church. He was there with held the clothes of those that stoned the first martyr, Stephen. And I suppose Paul thought about those things sometimes. And now here his life was changed, and he was with them that he persecuted. But that didn't hinder his work. Knowing that our past life is forgiven, we need to go on, just as Paul did, reaching forth to those things which are before. And then in verse 14, I press towards the mark. You know there's a goal in life. If we are going to serve God with purpose, there's a goal in life. We want to reach heaven. And it's what we do here is that purpose in life, whether we're going to make it or not. And so we need to be faithful, just as Paul was. His example he has given for us to fulfill the work which God is calling to do. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure, his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now here it says in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And we have that as we grow up and we have the teaching and we hear this many sermons, we read the Bible, we can have and get to know the mystery of God's will. Now I'm not saying we're going to always understand everything, but I think God will make it plain enough where he wants us to do or what he wants us to be that we can fulfill the purpose which he's asked of us. And then it says that according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, and that he's going to bring together here as it mentions. In verse 11 it says that we obtained an inheritance being predestinated according to the purpose of his will. Now, some people have the idea that some people are predestinated. I mean, all people are predestinated to serve God. Not all people do that. But I believe that's God's will. I don't believe that people are predestinated this morning that we won't make it or that we will. That is a choice that we need to make here in life to fulfill the purpose which God has given us. I don't believe that God ever gives a purpose that's going to bring a person down. When we go down, it's because of our own failures. And that God's purpose is for us to grow and to be more like him and to be an example to those about us and those we meet from day to day. And that we should be faithful in this. And that we are fulfilling the purpose which God has given us to do. And like I mentioned a while ago, he's not going to ask of us more than what we can do. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, according to the eternal purpose which he has purposed with Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now here it says that we have eternal purpose which he has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I believe that that is for everyone, that God has made this purpose for us, as I mentioned a while ago. Everyone has purpose and we need to fulfill that. And then it says, if we are fulfilling that purpose, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Whatever God calls, he'll see to it that we have what we need to fulfill it. And we have our part to do too. We need to come to him. In Hebrew, it'll be mentioned about come boldly. Not proud, but in humility. But we know the help's available, and we know where to go for it. And that he can help us fulfill the purpose in life. And we may be faithful in that way. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "But these things are written that ye might believe, knowing him, and have be like him." Do we know we have the Bible, we read it, we study it, but these things are written to help us in our purpose in life, to fulfill what God has done. And you know, many times we read the Bible, we are challenged, and it's like Brother Virgil mentioned here in the devotion this morning, that as he read how the king called the people together, it was an encouragement to him. And so there's many times we read God's word, but these things are written that they can be a help to us. The last one is in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verses 4 to 6. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here it says that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. We have that hope of heaven. And it's because of the Bible we can read and study and be challenged again to fulfill the purpose which God has given us to do. The more we know about God has done in the past, the greater confidence we have about what he will do for us in the future. You know, when we read the Bible and all the accounts that are given there, that should be a help to us. It should strengthen our faith and give us more courage to fulfill the purpose which we are called to do. The last thought is, even when everything seems to go meaningless, God still has a purpose for your life. You know, sometimes we just don't understand why or what the situation, and we don't need to. What we need to remember is that God has called us to whatever work he has, and he'll give us the strength and the grace to fulfill it as we go to him. So I trust as we go throughout the coming days, the Lord tarries, that we might realize the purpose that we have and do our best to fulfill it. And we have the Bible to give us many encouragements to help us to be faithful.